So, with that before us, let's just go back to the beginning of this passage when Peter asks the question. He says, then Peter came to him and said, and often in the lectionary, that's where it begins, somewhere in the middle of a conversation. Well, last week, we had the Matthew passage where Jesus was teaching us about how we deal with confrontation or issues in our church. That if you have an issue with someone in the congregation, you meet with them one-on-one. If that doesn't work, you bring a witness or two. If that doesn't work, the congregation gathers and you work through the issue. And if that doesn't work, they leave the body. It was from that conversation that Peter asked this question. And the question was, how many times? So we might be able to think about why he would ask that question. Because how many times does somebody come to us again and again and again and hurt us again and again and again? And we have to wonder, how often do we forgive? You know, how often as a body of Christ do we sit and make judgment rather than continue to forgive? So Peter suggests or asks, seven times? Do I have to do it seven times? Now, he wasn't counting. You know, one, well, that's the third time I've had to talk to John. Now, this is the fourth. No, seven in biblical numbers is a perfect number. Peter was asking Jesus, do I have to forgive him perfectly? Does it have to be perfect? Does it have to be from my heart? Can't I just say I'm sorry? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. Now, some translations translate that as 70 times 7. But what Jesus is saying, it's an infinite number. You do not get off the hook when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness is just part of who you are as my disciple. If you cannot forgive from your heart and continually do it, you're not being the disciple you need to be. So then he tells a parable. And Jesus loves to tell us a story to help us understand. But sometimes we don't quite understand the stories because of the language. Like, how many know what a talent is? How many know how much 10,000 talents are? Well, we're going to get to that. So this king has all these slaves and he's taking care of the books, taking care of what they owe him. It may have been like a payday or a debt-paying day. You know, your debt's due. And he's going through them and he comes to this one slave who owes him 10,000 talents. One talent is about 2 years' worth of wages. One talent. Robert McGee, he wouldn't want to be called Bobby. Robert McGee over at Union Chapel looked that up. And it's over $5 million this one slave owed. They didn't have the lottery, so he couldn't win the lottery and pay his debt. He would have never, ever been able to pay that debt. And so even when he pleads, I will pay you everything. It's like, I don't think so. So at that point, the master has a choice. He can either do what he was going to do, sell him and everything to make up as much as he could of this huge debt, or forgive him. Before we move to the next part of this story, think about that. God has this infinite grace. We can never, never repay that debt we owe God. We never could. But God says we don't have to. You are forgiven. God's grace extends beyond anything that we could imagine. As Jesus tells this parable, that master is God, and we are that slave. That slave who owes everything to God. And God says, if we ask for mercy, you are forgiven. And often I talk about God's unconditional love. But there seems to be in this particular parable a condition. And this is where we're going to move to the second half of the story. So I can imagine the slave, all excited. He just got freed. He was facing being sold. He was facing his wife being sold and probably the family split apart. Everything he owned was being sold. It was like everything was gone. And then he got forgiven. He got to walk out of that hall or wherever he was, free of his debt, free of the fear of being enslaved and carried away. He was free. Can you imagine? He may have been dancing out of that place. He's so excited that the grace that was shown him by his master. And as he's walking and excited and everybody's seeing this amazing moment, he sees someone who owes him a couple bucks. Grabs him by the throat and says, "Pay me or else." And the guy says, "Have mercy on me. I can't pay you right now, but I will." And he sends him into prison. Now, this wasn't done, you know, in this vacuum. All the other slaves saw his mercy, and all the other slaves saw his judgment. And they got a bit upset. Wouldn't you have gotten a bit upset that he did that after he had so much grace shown upon him? So they went and found the master. And then he gets tortured. So we could spend a whole lot of time with that, but verse 35 is the one that gets me, because this is what it says. "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." God's forgiveness is somewhat conditional, isn't it, on our ability to forgive as God forgives. If we cannot step into that place of right relationship with God and make our relationships with everybody else just as right from our heart, then God may ask us that at that time that God meets us face to face, "Why couldn't you forgive? Why couldn't you forgive?" Forgiveness is the hardest thing we do. How many of you have a hard time forgiving other people? Yeah. I'm right there. There are some instances when it's really just hard. And it's not that you have to go and make this wonderful relationship with the one who has harmed you. But unforgiveness harms you. If you cannot forgive the person from your heart, whether they're in front of your face or you never want to see them again and never should see them again because they'll do you physical harm. If you can't forgive them in here, then they're still harming you. Forgiveness is about making your relationship right with God, about letting go of that incident, that whatever, that caused harm, caused a broken relationship with someone else, so that your heart becomes pure again. And that forgiveness has to be from your heart. And because we can't do it on our own, guess what we have to do? We have to pray to the Lord to open our heart. We have to pray to the Lord to take the bitterness out of our heart. One of my prayers is, "Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot say, 'I forgive.' You've got to say it for me. You've got to show me how to say it. So God's going to work with us through the power of the Holy Spirit if we're willing to go before him and say, "This is a burden that I just don't want to let go of, God." And God will slowly remove our... I won't crack my knuckles today. Slowly remove our fingers from whatever we're holding on to and take it from us. If we're honest in our heart that what we want to do is love God and love our neighbor. But as the body of Christ, we have a hard time even in the body offering forgiveness. And what if, for a minute, just picture for me, what if we learned how to do it with each other? What if the people who have harmed us within our own body, we learn how to let go of the harm in our hearts and forgive them? What would we look like as the body of Christ if we could love one another as God loves us? If we could forgive one another with the abundance that the Master forgave us? At Awakenings this morning, we talked about boundaries, that sometimes forgiveness also requires a boundary of safety and protection. Well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the armor of light. What if instead of saying we have to set up boundaries, What if we said, Lord, put upon me your armor of light so that I reflect out only your love and forgiveness, and you protect me from the slings and arrows. Forgiveness. It is hard. But God asks us to do it. Jesus asks us to do it. That was pretty harsh words Jesus gave us. You know, it started with Peter's question. If another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? And the final answer, remember that whatever that show was, your final answer is, so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. You do not need to shake their hand. You do not need to hug them in a warm embrace, unless it brings you to that space. But you do need to be free of the bitterness and the unforgiveness by letting go and forgiving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.